Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tasty Trade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. I've been wanting to make friends. I'm just trying to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate and teach you. So call me at 1-800-743-CNBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. After a fairly sedate day, Dow dipped 52 points, S&P basically flat, NASDAQ advanced 0.07%. I need you to remember something. The best stocks, they're never cheap. They rarely come in. And when they do, you gotta be ready to pounce!
Bye, bye, bye!
The good news? Rarely is not the same as never. Every now and then, you do get meaningful pullbacks in truly high-quality stocks. The bad news, when those pullbacks happen, most people tend to be too afraid, scared to do any buying. And you know what? I can't blame them. Case in point, the stock of Costco. I think the world of Costco. I'm a proud Costco member. Gold star. My wife, Lisa, is an executive club member. She lords her status over me. Every time I shop there, I'm blown away by the low prices. In fact, I'm a two-cart kind of shopper. The bargains are so great, one cart's not enough to contain them all. We're like a train when we go there. We buy Costco's private label products. Why? Because they're usually better than nationally branded stuff. The place never fails to amaze. My trainer, Jim, this week he bought a car from Costco. They gave him a better lease deal than anywhere else. Fish, beef, crab legs, glasses, diamond rings, Zegna shirts, you name it, go to Costco. But the stock? Well, the stock, I've liked it for years. But I've always cautioned that it is on the expensive side. We used to own Costco, the stock, for my charitable trust. But you know what? We sold it. We sold it simply because we had a huge gain, and I didn't want to be greedy. Well, of course, everyone has a huge gain. Remember this. Bulls make money. Bears make money. But hogs, they get slaughtered. Since then, the stocks continue to climb, and I've never felt like we had a good opportunity to get back in because, well, I mean, you really don't get a lot of downturns in here, do you? Today, though, Costco got hit. The first real price break in the better part of a year. Opportunity? It sure felt like an opportunity, right until I saw why Costco got hit. Bernstein, good research firm, downgraded the stock from holds, in other words, they missed a lot of the move, to sell in a devastating piece that read so negatively that it could talk even the most optimistic bull out of buying this Costco dip. Have you had their crab dip? Anyway, listen to this litany of woe about Costco. First, Bernstein's worried that the company may be approaching peak club counts, peak members per club, and peak revenue per member. Once Costco hits the saturation point, those numbers could start to deteriorate. Second, they mention a possible downturn catalyst, although they never really spell out what it is. Costco does tend to thrive in a weaker economy. Third, potential competition. Finally, they argue Costco's expansion into China may not go as well as many people expect. Or as the piece was titled, Cost, remember the symbol COSD, Cost, Rational Exuberance, Downgrading to Underperform on Valuation, U.S. Saturation, Competition, and a Slow Boat to China. Even worse, their bearish logic is all backed up by charts and graphs showing how Costco's stock is so expensive versus historical valuation on pretty much any metric you care to name. That sounds very rigorous and very scary. While the analyst freely admits that he missed the big rally in the stock, he does that right at the top. I felt that was very humble of him. Let's just say his logic sure looks compelling. There's just one teensy-weensy problem with this analysis. They make it sound as though Costco has very little control over its own destiny. And that's just not true. Costco is a best-of-breed retailer that has repeatedly reinvented itself. And if they need to reinvent themselves again, that's exactly what they'll do. As a close follower of the chain, I can remember when they initially decided that natural and organic was a fad. They didn't embrace it. Big mistake. And when management realized it, they went all in on natural and organic. They arguably have the best selection in the world now. I can remember when Costco failed to really embrace the internet. It seemed to me that they had contempt for digitalization, and they somehow believed that they wouldn't lose business to more digital-friendly competitors. They love brick and mortar. When they realized, though, they got it wrong, they pivoted and pivoted hard, and they've become one of the best operators on the web. Some say the ultimate omnichannel retailer. The company's been judicious about raising the price of club memberships, but if they decide they need the money, I bet they could put through some substantial price increases without losing many customers at all. I don't want to say any customers, but many customers. Oh, and as far as the Chinese business is concerned, the slow boat to China. Costco recently opened a store in Shanghai, and it was so swamped with customers that there was barely room to push a cart. They actually had to close up early on the first day because they couldn't manage the huge crowds. Shoppers were literally fighting with each other over rotisserie chickens. Within days, management decided to put up a second one in Shanghai. That sure doesn't seem like a troubled, cannibalized business to me. How about you? So what do you do with a stock like this one? First, you have to accept that Costco's shares will never be cheap. That's why I always tell you to pay up for best of breed. Second, I think the Bernstein downgrade could prove to be spot on, at least for the moment. See, this stock is up 41% year to date. So it theoretically, I mean, it's not such a bad idea to say, well, wait a second, maybe take a little profit here. I'd give it a day or two more to make sure all the weak hands get shaken out. After that, though, I have no doubt that Costco is worth buying into a weakness. The stock may look expensive now, but it looked expensive 5 years ago, too. And it's more than doubled since then. That's why I'm unmoved by the valuation argument. Okay, let me give you another example. Mr. Softy, Microsoft. As of yesterday's close, this stock was trading at around 27 times earnings. It's been years and years since the last time I saw Microsoft trading at such an elevated level. But if you sold the stock based on the valuation worries, well, you felt like a dope last night when management gave us a gigantic dividend boost and a $40 billion buyback, even though the company's a trillion-dollar company. Oh, it rallied $2.55 today. I'm going to give you another one that I like. We had a caller about it the other day. Wendy's. Yeah, I love going to Wendy's. You know, my wife adores the Baconator. I mean, it's her favorite treat. If she's really in a good mood and has worked that really hard, she has the double Baconator. I think Todd Penegor, the CEO, is fantastic. But the stock recently got hit. And I got to tell you, last night when the viewer called, I almost was like, how did this happen? How could it go down this much so quickly? Oh, the caller's name was Phyllis, just so you remember. I myself just blanked out. But Regina Gilgan, my incredibly smart executive producer, who's got a really smart outfit on, told me this. Okay, anyway, what was Wendy's crime? Do you remember what Wendy's crime was? Defender of Phyllis?
Do I remember their crime?
Yeah, what did Wendy's do wrong?
Breakfast.
It decided to hire 20,000 people because of breakfast. They wanted that to take a hit to earnings so that they can do more business later. Hey, what kind of country is this? You hire 20,000 people and your stock gets clobbered. That's wrong. Good grief. You know what it gave you? Phyllis, it gave you a great entry point. They're investing in growth, for heaven's sake. That's what I want. Look, I can list dozens of opportunities to buy expensive but high-quality stocks into weakness. In each case, it's easy to say what the Bernstein analyst said about Costco. Sell, sell, sell. But what's really the alternative here? If you're hunting for stocks that are cheap, they tend to be cheap for good reasons. Those reasons rarely change. One of the cheapest groups in the market right now, the automakers. Let me ask you, do you really want to invest in an ailing industry that's facing near-term problems like strikes and longer-term existential threats like ride-sharing? What about another group? That's the brick-and-mortar retail chains that fail the online or off-price tests. The only winners in this group, either offer incredible bargains or have incredible digital footprint. The rest, they've been total dogs. I think they're going to stay that way. Oh, you want cheap? How about the steelmakers? Even with the tariffs, which is about what you'd expect with a slowing economy. The oils, the horror. Bottom line, the next time some analyst knocks down a best-of-breed stock with a cogent downgrade that's focused on valuation, you need to take advantage of that best-of-breed opportunity weakness, and you need to do some buying. All right, let's take calls. Let's go to John in California. John.
Jim, you know, we love you out here in Sacramento. 10th and P gang is still watching you.
My man, John.
All right.
My man, John. I'm in an old sack, though, right now, mentally.
Okay, what we got? I noticed my old buddy Warren Buffett, who has a couple more dollars than me. I see some news. Kraft Heinz is in the news with somebody dumping some. You think he'll buy it up or kind of lick his wounds and hang back low?
You have a kind of a worst of breed situation there. And other than Cheese Whiz, when I go to Geno's, which I'm going to try to do this weekend, there's nothing there. Let's buy best of breed, not worst of breed. We'll always make more money. All right, look, Bernstein's valuation concerns for Costco, they're logical. It may even be right for the moment. But history tells me that best of breed companies don't trade for cheap. Why should they? Take this dip as a buying opportunity. Not tomorrow. Let it sit for a couple days. Let the weekends blow out of it. On Mad Money Tonight, it's behind Vrbo, Trivago, and its namesake Expedia brand. I'm taking a trip with the CEO of this travel group giant. And Chipotle's up over 90% since the start of the year. Can it still add some spice to your portfolio, or have you missed the move? I'm giving my take. And 5% of the world's oil supply was taken offline earlier this week, but the market hardly even seemed to notice. I'll explain why. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact, smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Roughly 2 years ago, when Expedia Group's then CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, left to go run Uber, many investors decided it was time for them to leave, too. The company had a couple of tough quarters. After its departure, the stock got clobbered, falling from more than $150 down to less than $100 in February of last year. But since then, the online travel play has been gradually working its way higher once again. When Expedia Group reported its latest quarter at the end of July, they knocked it out of the park and the stock caught fire. Then the whole market rolled over, and while Expedia rebounded over the last few days, it's still more than a few points off its 52-week highs. So should we view this as a terrific buying opportunity in a stock that is clearly trending higher? Let's check in with Mark Okerstrom. He's the president and CEO of Expedia Group, who took over from Dara 2 years ago to get a better sense of how things are going and how things are turning. Mr. Okerstrom, welcome to Mad Money. Good to see you, sir. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Oh, great. Now, everyone knows Expedia, but it's really Expedia Group. And I want people to understand that they may think it's one company, but you've got a bunch of good companies.
We've got a ton of great companies. You know, I think most of the leading brands, not all, but most of the leading brands in travel, whether it's Vrbo in the alternative accommodation space, Expedia, Hotels.com, Travelocity, Orbitz, Cheap Tickets, Trivago, you name it, we've got a host of incredible brands.
Well, let me ask you why. Why not just brand everything Expedia, which is such a good brand and everybody knows it?
Well, the fact of the matter is that consumers love to have choice, and consumers have developed relationships with each of these beloved brands over the years. And what we've done is essentially brought them under one family, allowed them to share a lot of the great technological advantages that we've got, allow them to access all of our great inventory, including great lodging inventory, air, car, hotel, etc. And it gives us the scale advantages that we might have if we are one brand, but we're able to spread it across all these brands that have loyal customer following.
I wonder, at the DeBarian, you're kind of our wholesaler, so to speak. Yeah. You handle all our bookings. Do people understand that you actually are the backbone of a lot of corporate bookings? That if you're going to be able to get, say, Merck's business or Celgene's business, you have to be affiliated with Expedia?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a big part of our business and a growing part of our business is powering other players out there. We power a lot of the big traditional corporate travel players that might service that. We've also got an incredible business called Egencia, which is about the fourth largest corporate travel agency in the world that also allows us to go into big corporates and service their travel management business.
Now, we were huge fans of HomeAway. And we were because I love the product, and I always felt it was undervalued. You guys obviously did, too. But you branded it new.
Yes.
And is that something that people have been having a hard time to find? Because I know that, at one point you weren't that happy with how it's going, but you really kind of turned it around.
Yeah, so we recently rebranded the whole thing to Vrbo. And the reason why we did it was that the original brand that was the essence of HomeAway was VRBO, Vacation Rentals by Owner.
Right.
A very authentic brand. And as we thought about our international expansion plans, which are kind of the next phase of growth, we said, listen, let's pick a great brand that we can really back. It's Vrbo. We had a little bit of hiccups as we transitioned to the Vrbo brand, but we're optimistic that over the long term, it's going to continue to be a great growth brand into the future.
Now, we always looked, when I was talking to the guys that I liked very much at HomeAway, that there was this great disparity between the unicorn of Airbnb and HomeAway, now Vrbo. I mean, when you see somebody like an Uber, when you see somebody like a WeWork, do you think that people are now getting a little religion that when you're a public company, maybe you're cheaper than the private company, so to speak?
Well, listen, we've always strived to have a track record of delivering strong, healthy top-line growth and healthy profit growth. We think that's good business. And, you know, as we look at a lot of these companies that have gone public recently, nice top-line growth, a little bit shy on the profitability.
Right.
And listen, I think at some point investors, what do they want? They want to see that cash flow flowing. And we've built a great company that produces great free cash flow, and we're pretty proud of it.
In one of the conference calls, it was really terrific. You talked about how people see the planes full, and people know that the hotels are full, so therefore, you know, are we doing well? Yes. I think those are signs also that the consumer's going places.
Yeah, listen, I think consumer confidence still remains pretty high. You've got this secular shift from things to experiences that is buoying travel. From what we can see, if you look on a global basis, I mean, travel is just going to continue to go up, up, and up, and we're absolutely thrilled to be at the center of it all.
It is the essence of what happens when you go from a lower wealth to a middle wealth, right? That's when you go on a plane.
Absolutely. What do people do when they get a little bit extra money in their pocket? They say, listen, let's go and explore the world. I did when I was growing up.
Same.
I'm sure you did
Same.
Too.
Oh, no, absolutely. So when we read these stories, downbeat stories about tariffs, and yesterday I know know, that Chief Powell is struggling because he doesn't want to cut rates. It feels like that because he knows the consumer's doing well. I mean, if he looks at Expedia, should he be thinking that the consumer's doing well, or should he be thinking that Expedia's got inflation under control because of the bargains they offer?
Well, I think you look at that and say Expedia is doing well. I mean, the you know, you continue to see good strength in average daily rates and average ticket prices. Yeah. We continue to see spending up. Room nights are growing. Gross bookings are up. It seems very healthy to us, and I think that's certainly been the trend year to date.
Yeah, I mean, I look at your company, and I think, well, you are the best barometer of how we're doing, and that it's really hard. That we're really a bifurcated economy. Industrial, I mean, I was working some of the steel companies. They're doing terribly. Yeah. But the consumer, you seem to be more levered to job growth, which is really solid.
Yeah, listen, I think when consumers have got money in their pocket, again, they want to travel, and Expedia is at the center of travel.
Yeah. Now, hotels, when you do hotels.com, you have a winning loyalty program. What does that mean? Because I think that everyone tells me that yours is the best and I should be a member.
It's incredible. Why is it incredible? It's simple. Stay 10 nights, get one free. There's no points to worry about. It's not really confusing. You stay 10 nights, you get one free. And importantly, you can stay anywhere. You don't have to pick one certain hotel chain over another. Any of our properties on hotels.com, you can stay at using your points.
And you just did two really important deals, one with one of the biggest airlines, United, and the other with Marriott. Yeah. What will those mean for your bottom line?
Well, listen, I think they're both very positive deals. United deal, this is something that for us is, we think, going to make us economically better off. I think it's a great deal for them. And same with Marriott. I mean, we've been pretty clear over the course of the last couple of years that we have got our prices in the right spot. We're not in the business of reducing our margins. And the Marriott deal for us, we got very creative on the ways that we do business together. But net-net, it's basically a piece of business that's going to be accretive to our business.
And one last thing. I've been thinking that of the companies that do have some degree of pricing power because of demand and travel. You guys are been able to, in places, raise price if you have to.
Yeah. Well, what we've done is we've taken a pretty thoughtful approach to it, which is we've got low basic pricing.
Right.
We can then allow you to upsell into things like having your inventory available in our packages product. If you need more demand, even at that low basic pricing, you can pay more on advertising products or just give us more margin and rise up in the search results. And that's been something that's been pretty darn successful.
It's obvious that advertising on these big search companies really does make money for you.
Well, absolutely. Advertising is a big piece of it. It has been one of our largest growing revenue sources.
Right.
And importantly, if you want to target travelers,
you have to go.
Where do you go?
No, I know.
Where the travelers are, Expedia.
Well, it's fine. When they do the antitrust, they're going to have to go up the hill and say, listen, the customers have no choice. They have to advertise with us. It's where they are.
Well, it's a very competitive industry, as always, but we do have a lot of travelers who are shopping around on Expedia.
Be careful. You may have to testify. Talk about how good they're doing. That is Mark Okerstrom, the CEO of Expedia Group. You know, we've liked this one literally since it came public. And we also liked HomeAway, now Vrbo.
You got it.
Okay. Man Buddies back into the break.
Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need to get ready for Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back because they know small businesses can make a big difference. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX. Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind. just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Every year, right about this time, money managers do the same thing. They start doubling down on their best performers. Then they tend to hold those stocks through the end of the year. They like to show that they're winning. Sometimes the process doesn't pan out. Last year, the Fed threw a monkey wrench into the gears, caused a market-wide meltdown. But usually when hedge funds and mutual funds anoint, that's the word I like to use, their favorite winners going into the fourth quarter, those stocks keep winning until the big boys take profits in January. Which brings us to the big question. Who's most likely to be anointed by Wall Street here? When you look at the S&P 500, one name stands out above all others, and it is a surprising one. You know who's leading the whole, well, it's not really that shocking. You know who's leading the whole index? Chipotle! Do you know that this is up more than 90% for the year? In fact, Chipotle's running away with it. The next closest competitor is only up 75%. Wow! It's like Secretariat. Don't get me wrong. I love Chipotle, the company, and I've been pounding the table on Chipotle, the stock, for years. Ever since they got past those food safety issues from a few years ago and then poached Brian Nickel from Taco Bell, bringing him in as the new CEO, well, I have been all in. But geez, even I didn't expect a 90% plus gain. That's quite a run, especially for a restaurant stock. So how the heck did Chipotle become the best performer in the S&P 500? And more importantly, can it keep climbing, especially after Darden reported a number today that a lot of people thought was suboptimal? You got to remember, until the big health scares 3 years ago, this was consistently one of the hottest growth stocks around. When McDonald's spun off Chipotle in 2006, that's right, McDonald's owned it. It wasn't even a $50 stock. By the time it peaked 3 years ago, it was a $750 stock, all thanks to great food, terrific concept, and a turbocharged growth story. But then there were all those cases of E. coli, norovirus, spate of food safety incidents near the end of 2015, and they sent the stock into a tailspin. Now, I always tell you, it takes about 18 months for the American public to forget or get over this kind of healthcare scare. I mean, that's the collective consciousness. They forget the scare 18 months later. Now, we've seen it over and over and over again. We had it with Taco Bell. We had it with Jack in the Box. People have short memories. Unfortunately, just as Chipotle was getting over the first set of health scares, they had some more in the summer of 2017. Once again, the stock went into free fall, ultimately bottoming at $247 in February of last year. Now it's more than tripled from those levels. Now, some of that is simply because of the 18-month rule. Chipotle lapped the latest food scares, and that's allowed their same-store sales numbers to surge. But I think a lot of it comes down to leadership. The board brought in Brian Nickel as the new CEO in February of 2018, and this stock has not looked back since then. Previously, he had been the CEO of Taco Bell. He was amazing there. He's had fabulous strides at modernizing the brand, bringing new traffic. Incredibly funny ad campaigns. Still, there was a ton of skepticism at the time. And Chipotle and Taco Bell, they might be both quick-serve Tex-Mex chains, but there's a world of difference between the high-end Chipotle and the cheap processed Taco Bell. And believe me, the Chipotle guys always let you know that. Turns out the skeptics were dead wrong. Brian has engineered a magnificent turnaround. We've been over a lot of this before, so I'm just going to give you some of the highlights. First, he partnered with DoorDash, DoorDash's private company, to roll out a delivery program at 1,500 locations. The impact was immediate. Second, under Brian's leadership, Chipotle embraced digitization. Like many popular chains, these guys always had a throughput problem. They could only process so many people at once. So you often spend a lot of time waiting in line. Then you get angry, then you go to another chain. To solve that, the company started taking online orders, including mobile. They created a loyalty program to bring in more traffic. Can you believe how far behind these guys were? Third, Brian modernized the stores, giving them a better look. Remodeling is a great way to bring back customers who were scared off by the food safety incidents. What else? The company's been smart about tailoring its marketing to millennials. Over the past 2 years, Chipotle steadily released a series of new menu items, including lots of limited-time offerings, something else that brings in a lot of traffic. Now, a year ago was the chorizo. In January, they rolled out lifestyle bowls designed for people on specific diets, paleo, keto, double protein. And just today, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this piece, just today, Chipotle launched the holy grail of limited-time offerings. Behold the carne asada. Believe me, it tastes as good as it looks. I almost went for seconds. Now, the result of all these changes, Chipotle's been putting up some phenomenal numbers. 18 months ago, they were tracking up low single-digit same-store sales. The latest quarter, they gave you 10% same-store. 10%! Handily beating the 8.3% number that the analysts were looking for. How about the earnings? It's like Chipotle's back to the old pre-health scare self, beating the earnings estimates quarter after quarter. In fact, so far this year, some of the beats have been truly spectacular. Looking back, the analysts who follow this thing severely underestimated Brian Nichols' ability to turn things around and restore Chipotle to its rightful place in the growth stock hierarchy and the speed with which he could do it. As soon as the stock started getting some lift earlier this year, many of the analysts downgraded the stock and headed for the exits. Hey, you know, I guess once to burn, twice shy. Yeah, they couldn't believe that the new Chipotle had put its message behind it, its missteps behind it, and had a brand new message. They couldn't believe it. The company had another food safety issue last summer, but you know what? Brian Nichols retrained his entire workforce to prevent future health scares, and this time it only took 6 months for the customers to start coming back, not 18. They heard about the new keto bowls in January, and all was forgiven. The analysts didn't see that coming either. That's one reason the company's been able to deliver so many monster upside surprises, because the estimates were just way too low. Now, though, that's changed. The analysts have been dragged kicking and screaming back to a bullishness. Their upgrades fueled the most recent leg of the stock's rally. These days, it's hard to find a piece of research that's critical of Chipotle. I mean, maybe that's actually a bad thing. When everybody loves a stock, it limits your potential upside. The biggest winners are typically surrounded by skeptics, people who refuse to believe. Gradually, those bears become bulls. That's how stocks go higher. I'm a little worried. Actually, it's probably the only fly in the ointment for Chipotle, that maybe there are too many bulls and not enough bears. So what do we do with Chipotle now? If you don't already own the stock, it's no longer cheap, trading at 48 times next year's earnings estimates. I feel like you're chasing it if you're trying to buy it up here. However, if you want to own Chipotle as a long-term investment, you have my blessing to start building a position here as long as you wait for a pullback before you add to that position. It's, you know what it's like? It's kind of like a Costco, which I talked about at the top of the show. Best of breed is never cheap. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if Chipotle can keep climbing through the end of the year. When they report again in about a month, they'll be up against easy comparisons. As long as this market doesn't turn against the growth stocks again, I think there's more upside. I think it's likely, even with that labor lawsuit in New York City that caused the stock to get slammed down 5%. Jeez, are people skittish. But the comparisons will get a lot more difficult next year when they'll be lapping quarters with double-digit same-store sales growth. That's why it's a mistake to buy all at once. I think you need to come at this one carefully. You wait for a dip, perhaps to the 700s, and then you pounce on the rest. The bottom line, Chipotle's the biggest winner in the S&P 500. Because it deserves to be. Because Brian Nichol, the CEO, has done a tremendous job of breathing new life into a tarnished but still terrific concept. So pray for a pullback that gives you a chance to do some real buying here. Although it's going to take a monster-wide market sell-off in order to be able to get that pullback. And you know what? I doubt you'll get it. Hey, let's go to Carrie in Pennsylvania. Carrie!
Thanks for taking my call, Jim.
Of course, Carrie.
My stock is B&G Foods, ticker symbol BGS. It's got a notoriously high BIG yield. Is the dividend safe? And what is your opinion of the stock?
I've lost faith in the stock, Carrie. I've lost faith. Too many misses. Not sure of what's really going on there. Company is way on the QT. I'm going to say ixnay B&G. I need to go to Dan in Maryland. Dan!
Jim? You recently recommended Tyson as a chicken supplier to the sandwich boom.
Yes.
But there are some pure plays in fowl lower in the pecking order, like Sanderson Farms. Is it worth flocking to, or is Sanderson not up to scratch?
No, Sanders is good. It's just a lot more expensive than Tyson. Now, as one of the themes of tonight's show is that best of breed, you have to pay more. And Sanders is a very, very good company. Tyson's much more of a commodity play. But at 15 times earnings, which is half of Sanderson Farms is, I like it. Notice after they reported that little bit of mix up with commodity, the stock got hit and then came right back. That's the hallmark of an inexpensive stock that wants to go higher. Vince in Nebraska. Vince!
Hey, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Hey, you and I spoke about 3 weeks ago about Red Robin Gourmet Burger. At that time, you recommended that since some analyst from Bank of America Merrill Lynch had downgraded the stock to underperform, to stay away from that. And at that time, the stock had dropped on that date about $30 a share.
Right.
Value Line has it projected in the 3 to 5 years at 50 to 75. Vintage Capital, an activist investor, took an 11% position to agitate for changes and offered a $40 hostile bid that the company turned down. The stock went to $35 a share after
right.
we spoke, and it's at $34.94 today on a close. If you endorsed Elliott's management's activist investor role in AT&T, why not RRGB now?
Because I think that because in the end, the company's just not that great a company. I don't know how you make it into a great company. I mean, you have to hope that they're putting it up for sale. That's not what they want to do. And I don't like to play hope. I'd rather own high quality and bet that the high quality wins. I'd rather own Chipotle. I'd rather own McDonald's. I would rather own Wendy's. I would rather own, well, geez, Darden, even down 5 today off of what seemed like a not great quarter. All right. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Brian Nichols' turnaround strategy at Chipotle has been so successful that even the bears are hibernating. If you want in on this S&P winner, remember, the best stock in the S&P 500, build your position slowly. Wait for a lower entry point to buy the rest, maybe in the 700s. Much more Mad Money in. What the heck's happening in the oil complex? I'm offering the crude reality. We always like to use that term right here. Then, does your portfolio have what it takes to fight the unknowns in this market? I'll be the judge of that when we play MI Diversify. And all your calls rapid fire in tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. As I said at the top of the show, best of breed is always worth it. But it's not always the best strategy if you don't have a diversified portfolio of best of breed players. Hey, that's why we play MI Diversified. This is where you call me, you tell me your top five holdings, and I tell you if your portfolio is diversified enough. Maybe you need to mix it up a little. First up, we have a tweet from at TurryBaker1969. And he says, at Mad Money on CBC, at Jim Cramer, hashtag MI Diversified, Apple, Amazon, Disney, CVS, and Starbucks. Okay, let's look at this. Starbucks, major restaurant chain, Walt Disney Entertainment, CVS. This is a combination healthcare retail. Amazon, we'll call that pure, let's call it pure retail, and Apple Technology. So we have technology, we have restaurant, we've got entertainment, we got healthcare, and we've got online retail. And I'm telling you, I love that portfolio. Action alert, action alert, action alert, action alert. Yes, that person's clearly a member of my club. Let's go to Susan in Florida. Susan!
Booyah, Mr. Cramer from Delray Beach.
I love Delray Beach. How gorgeous is that? Let's go to work.
Beautiful. It's an honor to be able to thank you for all you do to educate us home gamers. Your knowledge and integrity are unmatched.
Woo! Thank you so much, man. I never let you down.
Oh, you won't. I know you won't.
Thank you.
My stocks are Microsoft, AT&T, Apple, Home Depot, and Amazon. Am I diversified?
All right. Some are going to criticize me for this because I am not going to say you have to sell one or these others. I'm not going to say that you neither have to sell Microsoft or Apple because they don't trade together. They haven't traded together for years. And that's what I'm looking for, is trade together factor. AT&T, you got Elliott in there making changes. I like that a lot. Home Depot, it just got downgraded the other day by someone. That person was off his mind or her mind. And then Amazon's a retailer. So retailer, tech. Oh, man, I'm really going to get criticized for this. But Amazon doesn't trade with Home Depot either. You have to recognize that I think about whether they trade together more than necessarily they're with their sector. So Amazon does not trade with Home Depot, so I'm okay with that. Telco, tech, but we distinguish that, and I think we're fine. I know close students of the show would say, I have to tell her to sell Amazon. I'm not doing that. Let's go to Sally in New York. Sally!
Hi, Jim. Love your show. Thanks for all the tips over the years.
Oh, thank you, Sally.
I wanted to see if my portfolio was diversified, and
okay.
Here is a stock. Spirit Airlines, Canopy Growth, Planet Fitness, Target, and Facebook. Thank you.
This is tough. This is tough. Well, Target's a fabulous retailer. I'm totally cool with that. Save is okay as an airline. I don't like airline stocks. Planet Fitness, good retail. Let's call it retail. But Canopy has just been so disappointing, even though it's not, you know, you could say, look, cannabis, retail, airline, retail. You can make this so that it's gymnasium. I don't know if you want to say it's athletic. And Facebook's fine. I thought that Mark Zuckerberg did quite well today, just for the record. Okay. So it's troubling. I can't. Canopy Growth can't be owned right now. I have to wait to see the new CEO. And I know that I've been recommending it, but I just feel this industry, I got it. This company's in flux. Let's put it that way. So let's see. Cannabis, airline, retail, tech, and fitness. And we're okay. I'm sorry to have been so equivocal on Canopy, but the stock was down big today, and I don't know why. Let's go to Mark in Illinois. Mark.
Jim Cramer.
Yes.
Here's a 2-0, soon to be 3-0 Cowboys. Booyah to you.
Get out of my face.
Hey, right, first time, long time here.
Yeah.
First time, long time, and also Action Alerts subscriber. Here are my 5 stars.
Oh, don't try to win me over that stuff. Okay, go ahead.
Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Ooh, I like that one.
CVS. Apple. Abbott Labs. And Twilio. Jim? Am I diversified?
Well, first of all, I am not going to make this very clear. Zeke is on my fantasy team, so who am I to say I don't like the Cowboys, right? I mean, Zeke, and I'm also playing Randall Cobb this weekend. Randall Cobb! Okay, Twilio, technology upgraded today by Morgan Stanley. I loved it. CVS, much more of a healthcare company than a drugstore chain these days. CME, the ultimate fintech stock. Abbott Labs, a device company. Apple technology, device, fintech, healthcare, tech. Bingo! I'm letting that go. And I know people are saying, well, hold it, Jim, did Apple trades on its own. Okay, it's like its own sector. Randall Cobb. All right. I love our players tonight. They all got some real horse sense. I say stick with Cramer. It is time. It's time to light it up. And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski Daddy? Time for the lightning round. Okay, so I'm going to start with Helen. It's not going. Helen!
How do you do, Jim? I'm calling you from Aiken, South Carolina. We're known for all the horses down here.
Well, there you go. I always try to figure out what the mascot is. Now I know. What's up?
Well, my question is about DocuSign. How is it that that company, do they have anything new in the pipeline? How can they make a big business?
Because it is the ultimate utility. And I think that what happens, I'm not kidding, is people use it and they love it. And Adobe should have bought them. And I've got to tell you, had Adobe bought them, I think the stock would be flying. Adobe actually coming back. Let's go to Rick in Pennsylvania. Rick.
Hello. I would like to know what your opinion is on Western Digital Corporation.
See, why buy Western Digital when you can buy Micron, which I think has more game? I think Micron is less expensive, and Micron doesn't have to have drives. I don't want drives. Let's go to Randy in California. Randy!
Oh, yeah, Dr. Cramer.
Oh, yeah.
Gratitude one more time for sharing your knowledge.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thank you.
You bet. Hey, I'd like to revisit a stock I talked with you about, 10 months ago. It's CWEN, Clearway Energy.
Yes, you have a 4% yield. I like renewable energy. I think it's a good company. I mean, it's a good company. I think they're in Jersey. We should get them on. Let's go to Nick in Michigan. Nick.
Jim, thank you for taking my call. I got a few University of Michigan students on the phone here.
Go there we go. Love
my
the
21-year-old
Wolverines.
Sister, yeah, still blue. My 21-year-old sister and all of her friends are obsessed with Revolve and convinced me to stock back in June. In the house
I like Revolve. I like Etsy. Okay, and I think both of them are good. Etsy upgraded tonight. And by the way, every kid has cut the cord. Not all right. Let's go to Steven in Pennsylvania, please, Steven.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm having a pretty good day. A little worried about Detroit, but that's okay. I'll get over it. What's going on?
Not too much. I had interest in AT&T. I listened to your show, and you said it's going to be a $60 stock. And what I'm wondering is, you didn't say when to buy it.
Right now. You buy it right now. You got Elliott in there. Those guys are incredibly good. I have followed everything they've done. I've made chapter and verse. I've interviewed Paul Singer. I think AT&T is going to come and do what they want.
Bye, bye, bye.
Because they are so darn smart. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade.
This weekend, we had the biggest oil shock in over a decade. Half of Saudi Arabia's production taken out like it was nothing. Cheap drones did it. But now, only a few days later, oil's a goner again. Natural gas is a goner. The whole complex is becoming uninvestable right before our very eyes. And that is the lesson of this week. The attack on Saudi Arabia initially caused the price of crude to blip up from the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Now it's back to 58. Is it? There never been an attack at all? When you look at the five-year West Texas forward curve, which is the way to really judge pricing, what you can pay for it out a few years, it barely budged. It was at $50 before the drone strike in response. It went to 52. That's it. Why can't the oil complex get any lift? You really got a combination of powerful forces holding it back, from conservation efforts to the slowing economy to the bountiful supply of crude in the Permian Basin, a vast repository of oil in West Texas that's pushing American production up from 12 million barrels a day to 17 million in a not-too-distant future. Did you know that a decade ago was at 5 million? The market simply can't handle all that new supply from America, which is why oil is so darn cheap in the out years. Much of the oil and gas in the Permian has been effectively trapped by a lack of pipelines. But recently, new pipe has been completed, and now they can bring that oil and that natural gas right to the marketplace. And that's the main reason why the attack on Saudi Arabia barely registered with the oil market for more than a day. I mean, sooner or later, that Permian is going to replace their supply. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Earlier this week, San Jose, California, the 10th largest city in America, banned natural gas in most new residential buildings beginning as early as next year. They're trying to crack down on greenhouse emissions, and natural gas is a huge methane spewer. San Jose is not the first city to do it. It's just the largest. Now, this barely noticed news is huge for the complex. It tells us that the future now belongs to renewable fuels. Less than a decade ago, we had major players in the industry like the late Aubrey McLennan of Chesapeake Energy or the recently deceased Boone Pickens who pushed natural gas as a cheaper, cleaner bridge fuel than coal or oil. Something that could be even used to power cars and trucks. But the bridge fuel was a bridge too far. It didn't happen. Natural gas vehicles never really caught on. Meanwhile, even though utilities are phasing out coal, they're reluctant to build new natural gas plants when they can build solar or wind instead. By the way, that's a major reason why GE's power division is still struggling. The older money managers who are used to Middle East shocks pushing prices up dramatically, well, they live in hope that the energy complex will make a comeback. Relative to the stock market, it's about as low as it's ever been. Many oil and oil service stocks are now trading well below where they were when crude was at $26, half of where it is. Why? I have a theory. Younger portfolio managers believe that oil and gas are the new coal. Despite the Saudi fires, despite a president who wants to give car companies a break to relax fuel efficiency standards, these stocks have become pariahs. If you take climate change seriously, and most younger people do, including younger portfolio managers, then it's hard to believe in the long-term health of this industry. My charitable trust, which you can follow along at actionalertsplus.com, join the club. Well, this week took a brutal loss on the stock of Schlumberger. That's one of the best companies on earth. It's the deal in the oil service space. I can't believe we sold the stock so much lower than where it was trading when oil was at half of these levels. But after a major supply shock failed to move the forward curve, we simply can't expect the oil companies to be aggressive long term. And that's exactly what you need if you're relying on an oil service company to make you money. If you want any oils, here's my advice. I would scale back on them. If they didn't move with the Middle East burning, just imagine how they'll hold up when something bad happens to them, like a slower economy. So forget the oil patch, at least for the near future. If it didn't have a sustained move this week, I don't know when it will. Stick with Kramer. Quality stock that I didn't mention, got to interview David Taylor today, CEO of Procter & Gamble. I think they are firing on all cylinders. Look for that one on a discount. Like I said, there's always a bull market summer. Prime Started Finance just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer, and I will see you tomorrow.
When it comes to family vacations, there are a million different trips you can take. You can get your own trip to Texas. Or if you prefer a vacation from your family, you can always get your own leave the kids with grandma.
Yay!
Trip to Texas. So go to traveltexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.